10,000 years ago, glaciers carved out the Great Lakes. To this day, ice influences the Great Lakes Basin's culture, economy, recreation, and its people. The film Project Ice depicts the important role ice plays in the Great Lakes region. Bill Kleinert, the documentary's executive producer and director, joins us to discuss Project Ice. Hi, Bill Kleinert.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I am well. Thanks for joining us. This project started out with a very different angle 2 years ago as a film looking at the car ferries that traverse the Straits of Mackinac. How did that film evolve into something exploring the entire Great Lakes region?
Well, my writing partner, Brian Jeske, who is the Registrar of Historic Collections at the Mackinac State Historic Parks, he's really the foremost expert in the car ferries at the Straits. And he and I have been talking over the previous roughly 5 years or so about doing a project together, and that seemed like a portion of Michigan history and Great Lakes and maritime history that really hadn't been explored. So we started exchanging outlines, and as we went through that process, my outlines started growing. And there were other aspects of the Great Lakes development that I thought that we should include. And so it just grew, and it became a broader kind of picture of how they really tell us things about ourselves beyond just the Great Lakes, but about the entire North American experience. And we've had the good fortune to visit a lot of really, really interesting places and take people with our cameras behind the scenes of some things that they probably wouldn't have opportunity to see otherwise.
Yeah, let's talk about those. I mean, we typically think about ice in the ways that it's shaped the Great Lakes geographically and maybe environmentally, but your film goes farther. You look at how ice has shaped the region's culture. Tell us about that.
Sure. Even starting back with Native American culture 8 to 14,000 years ago, ice was a critical factor in their seasonal activities. So it goes way back. And then as European explorers started coming to the region, then obviously ice impacted when they could travel, where they could travel, how they would travel, and they were forced to deal with the ice. As settlements began, they too were forced to deal with the ice. It impacted when they might receive goods by boat. St. Ignace was a perfect example that until the car ferries at the Straits came about, St. Ignace was basically cut off from mail delivery and packages and other things that would come to them during the winter that had to cease for a period of months. And of course, at that time, ice cover was a more prolonged period of time. So they were cut off for a substantial portion of the winter. When the car ferries came about, they were able to negotiate the ice in the Straits, which was is some of the most challenging in all of the Great Lakes. So that really changed things for them. They suddenly had access to things that they didn't previously have access to. And that's in about the 1880s, 1881, when the Michigan Transportation Company came about at the Straits. And this was a car ferry service. And when we say car ferry in this context, it's important for listeners to realize that these ferries came about before there were automobiles. We're talking the 1880s. And so the cars being referred to were rail cars at that time.
I see. Okay, yes. That's a good detail to point out.
Yeah.
I can't help but flash on the account of how moose came to Isle Royal because of an exceptionally cold winter 1 year. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. I think I've got this story right, but moose came to be native on Isle Royal because of an unusually cold winter 1 year, and they were able to travel all the way across the ice from Canada onto Isle Royal. So, I mean, that's quite a profound environmental impact there.
Indeed. And we've seen examples, firsthand examples of other animals traversing the ice. We were shooting at the Sioux Locks in 2011 on the night of March 25th. The locks typically open at midnight on approximately that date. And we were there shooting, and it was very cold. It was 17 below zero that night. And we had, I think we had six cameras rolling that evening. And all of a sudden, we looked up, and here is a fox going across the ice from Canada to the United States. And it told us that, you know, this is definitely a part of nature's activity, that animals were able to get places via the ice that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. I'm sure that fox probably aren't great swimmers, so.
That's a great story. What I find really interesting in this film is the contrast between these large-scale pictures of these gigantic, impressive lakes put next to these intimate portraits of people and how they are connected to ice. Was it important to you to look at ice's impact in that personal way?
Very much so. All along, we wanted this to be a story of people. I think that and climate change kept coming up in the 25 interviews that we did. It kept coming up over and over and over again with surprising frequency and in surprisingly detailed and intimate ways. And so this became a real a critical portion of our story. I'd always envisioned that we were going to have science as an important portion of the story, but as that came up from people as diverse as those putting on the pond hockey tournament at the Straits at St. Ignace, or people putting on the UP 200 dog sled race, or people aboard the Coast Guard cutter Mackinac, where we did a couple days of ice breaking with them on Lake Superior and on the St. Mary's River. This just kept coming up over and over again, how the ice cover is changing. And so as we explored this with several scientists, we realized that this is a critical part of the story that needs to get out. And then I was introduced to Dr. Henry Pollack, who is a geophysicist and climatologist and professor at University of Michigan. And he shares the 2007 Nobel Peace Prize with Al Gore. And he became our science advisor on the project, and he's one of the foremost experts in the world on climate change. So it was great to have a Michigan person who could relate directly to what's going on with ice cover on the Great Lakes and how it's affecting so many different activities, from ice fishing to hockey to dog sled races to snowmobiling, and even the ice bridge that has traditionally existed most winters going out to Mackinac Island. We actually weren't able to shoot it either year that we were up there, because it didn't exist at that point. There was not sufficient ice cover for the ice bridge that they use for a period of, well, it used to be for a period of months, and now if they're lucky, it's for a period of weeks to get back and forth from St. Ignace out to Mackinac Island. So they have to fly.
Who's the most interesting character, the most interesting ice fisherman, hockey player, ice climber that you met in the making of this film?
We met so many different, very, very interesting people. We met a gentleman who had lived on Nebish Island, which is one of the largest islands in the St. Mary's River. That's the river that, of course, that connects Lake Superior with Lake Huron. And he'd lived out there for 50, 60, 70 years. He was a real character. But we met hockey players at the pond hockey tournament in St. Ignace, the annual UP Pond Hockey Championship tournament, who were just fantastic. We spent 2 days aboard the Coast Guard cutter Mackinac got to know the captain very well. Much of the crew aboard the Mackinac, who just couldn't have been more accommodating to our filming needs. We just had some really interesting experience. I guess one of the most interesting was going to the top of the Mackinac Bridge, which is of course 585 feet above the water, the waters of the Straits down below. And that is an adventure in and of itself to get up through the labyrinth innards of the bridge and up to the top. And you have this just, oh my gosh, moment when you come through the final hatch at that 585-foot level up there and you take in this just incredible view. And get our 1,000 pounds of gear up there with us was quite an experience. You have ladders of 40, 60 feet that you have to traverse inside there and haul your equipment up as well. So
wow,
that was quite an experience.
You are,
and
if
you go across the Mackinac Bridge sometime, look at the bridge towers. Look at the side of them as you go by, and you'll see these small little hatch covers that you have to go through, little companionway covers that you have to go through. And I'm a pretty big guy. I'm 6'2 and about 220. And I went, how am I going to get through there? But I did. We went through probably 20 of those inside the bridge. So
that
was really interesting.
Just don't look at those if you're driving the car.
No.
You can do that if you're a passenger.
No, you have to slow way down.
Bill Kleinert is the executive producer and director of the film Project Ice. Bill Kleinert, best of luck with the movie. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much, Mark. Really appreciate being on your show.
Sure. This Tuesday Current State segment is supported by Michigan State University's Knight Center for Environmental Journalism. More news about the Great Lakes environment can be found at greatlakesecho.org and on Current State every Tuesday as part of our partnership.